Coach, are you still hanging on to that old shooting machine that's just sitting in storage and not getting used at all? Our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball are here to help trade in your machine. Any make, any model, in any condition, even if it's from a competitor. Plus, you get an extra $250 off the Dr. Dish commercial lineup when you mention Rising Coaches.
I think relationships and loyalty and those kind of things all bode into a successful pyramid of what could really make a team and a structure really work.
On this episode of the Rising Coaches podcast, we're joined by Jay Kuntz, general manager at the University of Pittsburgh. Jay has built his career from the ground up, beginning as a student manager at West Virginia, before rising through roles as a graduate assistant, assistant to the head coach, and director of player personnel and recruiting. He now serves as the GM at Pitt, helping navigate one of the most challenging eras in college basketball. In this episode, we discuss how he turned a student manager position into leadership roles within high major programs, what aspiring coaches should be doing early in their careers if they hope to one day become a GM, and a behind-the-scenes look at what goes into constructing and managing a roster in today's ever-changing landscape.
Welcome back, coaches. Everybody, excited to be here for another episode of the Rising Coaches podcast. Your hosts, Alan and Doug. We're fortunate to be able to have an opportunity to chop it up. The GM, general manager, University of Pittsburgh, right down the street. Guy I've been fortunate to meet outside of the hoops world, and obviously it's great to be able to see you and talk with you in your realm now. Jay Kuntz. Jay, welcome to the podcast.
Fellas, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Of course, man. I'm excited to be on with you all, and I don't know if it's always good for outside my realm, though. That's terrifying sometimes as well, but you know how that goes.
Yeah, right.
No, I got to say, first conversation I had with you immediately, you were like, hey, let's connect sometime. I love your podcast, and I'd love to be on it sometime. I didn't even ask. I'm like, okay, so this guy would love to talk about some hoops. Like I said, we're fortunate to be able to get you on here. One thing that really is great, too, is you not only obviously are in a GM role, you've grown in the college realm, the coaching realm. You were in the coaching side. Right. You were a student manager, a GA, assistant to the head coach, director of player personnel, recruiting, and so on, and worked your way up all in one organization. And I think that's one thing that falls under the radar a lot is people talk or don't talk enough about moving and growing in one organization. So first off, breaking into West Virginia University, that first student manager position, getting a GA position. Did you ever envision that you would be sitting as a GM?
I would probably sit there and say, I'm a motivated person. I'd like to think that old saying, you set your mind to it, you could do whatever you want. So probably not. At the end of the day, I was blessed to work for a Hall of Famer and really good coaches that surrounded him. I think we, as universities or departments or even programs, are only as good as the people that we surround ourselves with, and then putting those, not only head coaches, but assistants in good positions to work with people that can help them and have add to that success. At West Virginia, for the years you had Hugs, obviously, in my mind, one of the GOATs. But at the end of the day, you had Larry Harrison, who's been a head coach. Ronnie Everhart, who's been a head coach. Billy Hahn, rest in peace, who's been a head coach. Eric Martin, who is now a head coach. Jared Calhoun, who's now a head coach. So, like, having that tree build up, it was really influential and helpful. So what I would say to you guys is not only those people I just listened, but even the relationships with our former players there, Joe Mazzulla being the head coach at the Celtics, Johnny West working in the NBA, Mike Gansey working in the NBA, things like that. We really have a really rich, I'd say, lineage to both leagues and to that. So that's really helped kind of the trajectory for not only myself, but a lot of others that worked with myself or work with that staff and things of that nature. So very blessed in that regard. Tried to use that and try to do the same thing for the young guys that work for us now or did after that time period. I think that's the most important, is being able to give that same help and direction to those guys or the kids after us, so we could keep building that up. I think that's extremely important in our sport.
Yeah, well said, man. Obviously, you've spent a lot of time around Coach Huggins. What was it that maybe what people see, they sometimes overjudge and almost overjudge, versus what really made him so good from one day to the next, from one year to the next, from obviously the guy had phenomenal consistency throughout his career. What was it that made Coach Huggins who he is in terms of in who he was as a coach, just from building the consistency and his cornerstones and those types of things?
is loyalty, man. Who he is as a person. As good of a coach he was, he's an even better person. But I said, people, they say, you know, some people wear that black hat. And if you really know the guy, it's hilarious that people even have that thought process of him. But if you truly know him, that thought process is gone, because pretty much, I don't know, there's not many people that who don't love him that actually know him. It's one of those things where as long as you do right by others, it'll always do right by you. And that's how he is too. He's somebody that wants to see you help others and do as old saying was do right by people, do right by the people that work for you, that played for you, that have that thing. And that's just who he is. And I think a lot of us who had the pleasure and luck to work for Coach have probably taken that in our own journeys as well. And he's just a special human being. Obviously, the way things ended for him is career-wise. And mind you, I'm going to say this, and I don't care to say it. Not everyone knows exactly what happened there. You guys got the tea leaves and what the certain people and me wanted you to hear, not the real truth. One day, hopefully, that comes out and it will help him or help that side of it go a little bit differently. But that's not today, and that's not for me to say. So at the end of the day, he was so good to all of us, along with a lot of the coaches on that staff as well. And it can't be forgotten, obviously, the Larry Harrisons and Ronnie Hurts, the Billy Hans, the Eric Martins, Jared Calhouns of the world. Like, all those guys were really helpful to not just myself, but a lot of us that were lucky to still work in this game now and on our certain journeys. Hugs, it's funny now, like I said, when we check in, a lot of it's me. It got publicized last year when he came up here, and obviously the war between us, West Virginia, and that side of it, and that being my alma mater as well. But really, he would do that for any one of his guys who work for him. And obviously, he has two daughters, but has a lot of sons, his players, all the guys that work for him, and that's how it's always been. So I'm so appreciative of him and his guidance, and obviously the help he did to allow me to have success in this business and continue to hopefully have success, hopefully.
A mark of a great coach is, what are some of the guys in your tree? What do those guys end up doing? And the coaches that he's had come out of his tree, and he's got some incredible branches out there. We even had Deshaun Butler on here last year. Deshaun jumped on the pod with us, did an unbelievable job. So
it's crazy to think, like I said, obviously I took Deshaun, and Deshaun's probably one of my favorite players I ever got to watch play. And in that side of it, what an unbelievable human being. But you even think that's the younger group. Like, you got the older, you have Andy Kennedy, you have Brad Underwood, you have Frank Martin, you have Mick Cronin for that. Like, you have, like, he's a lot of people could sit there and judge their coaching trees. There's a reason why he had the success he had. He had great people around him and loyal people around him, and then obviously vice versa, loyalty in the other direction as well. So I if I can mark one thing, and people would say to me, like, you worked here for so long. I turned down other opportunities as Coach got older. I stayed with him at West Virginia, and it's because that's the reason why I was in the business to begin with. So and I think when I did do that, it was at least the respect of those people that were in conversations with me, because I realized who I was staying to work for. Wouldn't be in the business without him. So I owe a lot to him for sure.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, like I mentioned, you were able to grow in various roles all of West Virginia. So it's definitely unique to be able to see that. Because again, as you mentioned, there's other opportunities that present themselves. A lot of times coaches will say, no, take those. Obviously, they're better opportunities. But then sticking with one person is not something that is, I wouldn't say it's not uncommon, but it's not very common anymore. Is people like to bounce around. So when you grew at West Virginia, again, student manager, GA, assistant to head, director, player, person, what were some of the things that maybe you did that helped you grow from one position to the next that the other coaches like Huggins and the assistants saw?
I think I'm not going to do the surface stuff, right? Because there's the basketball stuff. You learn the basketball thing, you branch out. The one thing is I learned people and how important relationships are, no matter how big or little that may mean, fellas. And again, like, the best thing I can take from that step, from that is you're not better than anybody that is walking down the street opposite of you. No relationship is too big or too small. You say this person that could do this for you, the same amount that treat person that can do that for you. And that's extremely important. And something that I try to teach now is because I feel like that kind of commitment and that kind of humility in a way is really what builds relationships for you to be able to talk to players, whether we talk to agents, whether we talk to other coaches or other people in our industry. And I think that boded really well for me. I think that was something that I realized that, and then also how to work. Those guys were relentless. And I think that's something that a lot of people now would tell you about in regards to me is I'm relentless. We've dealt with it, a couple agents and guys I really like, and some of the agents that I actually do. They're like, Jay, you are relentless. I said, that's what I have to do. I'm not, even when we were at West Virginia Pitt, although very big rivals, very similar in the same regard, is we're not going to get your guys that you got to get, the freshmen you're going to get at Duke or Kentucky or things of that nature, nor do I think we should, because we have to find our own niche here, just like we did at West Virginia, just like those other schools do the same as well. And I think relationships and loyalty and those kind of things all bode into a successful pyramid of what could really make a team and a structure really work. And today's game, trust and all that is so important, because you have so many different people telling you one thing or the other. And I think it's really somebody that you can sit there and stand line to line and say, hey, that's my dude, I trust him. And that's important.
Yeah, no, I love the way you said that about learning people, because, and speak to this, because this is important. I don't care what level you coach at, what gender you coach, young coach, older coach, doesn't matter. Speak to the importance of, we always talk about, you got to re-recruit your own team. So that's a relationship thing. You always trying to build relationships within the staff because you have guys come and go. Speak to this, because coaches don't talk about this a lot. And you probably had to do this in West Virginia, and I know you did. Speak to the importance of recruiting your own campus. Because you've got to get out of the office and go see people, like whether it's admissions, financial aid, housing, whatever.
Donors, professors, that's in there.
Just you got to get out on campus. And because when people on campus feel good when they see you coming, that's a great sign, because that means you've got out of the office and you've had to go. That's why Dobos have such a golden opportunity. Because you got to create connections with all these people. But talk about, even if you're not in an admin spot and you're just a regular assistant coach, it's still important for you to get out and recruit your own campus.
No question. And I'll go into that a little bit. I think very similar to what you just said. The people that support you, they got to feel that you're equally, in a way, invested in them as much as you're wanting them to be invested in you and your product and what we're going to do, right? That staff did do that at West Virginia at an exceptional level. And I think it was a little easy because Morgantown's a college town, right? Everything in that state revolves around West Virginia University and the Mountaineers. That's what makes it one of the most special places. And you don't really know it or experience it till you're there and see it in person. And that side of it, I think last week with the baseball stuff and the success that, you know, Coach Sabins and that group has had is awesome and incredible. And I think it's getting some of the national attention that I think all of us that had been there or love that place and know to be true. But what I would sit there and say is a place like Pitt is a little different, right? Because you're in a city, you're a city school, you have a lot of pro sports surrounding you. So what you're saying right there, well, coach, is as important as anything. And was getting out on the campus, making sure that these students, when they get here, whether it be freshmen, whether they're coming as transfers, whether they've been here and you need to re-recruit them because you didn't have a good year or haven't had a couple good years, all that is essential to success overall. I think a perfect example of this is when I got hired recently, the end of July last year, roster was set, things of that nature. So I really had, it gave me an opportunity, as much as I'm ADD, I go 1,000 miles per hour, but it all, and again, at that time, I'm like, man, I can't do anything. But also, in a way, being able to sit back and learn and truly watch the landscape of what I had to learn, whether it be the University of Pittsburgh, how the administration, new administration here works, how downtown administration works, how the fan base works and thinks and operates, especially being a main target of theirs for a long time. But it really allowed me to sit back and learn and get back and hear the voice of the fan base, whether it be alums, whether it be current students, whether it be the casual fan that's having coffee and just wants to, you know what, about the day being rainy for whatever reason. But it allowed me to do that. And that was a lot of what we had to do. Is people were excited about who we added recently and things of that nature. And we don't have to get into the pit stuff, but I'm saying who we added. So of course, a couple down years for this, that, or the other reason, I think you always, even though people are excited, you always have to re-engage and re-recruit and re-entice the fan base, because it might not have been where they wanted to be. And hey, you might have a special group, that group, you owe it to that new group that you brought in to have these people engage and have that trust there. So there's a lot of moving pieces and parts, but yes, I would agree with you that it's extremely essential.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you said that. I think if there's one thing young coaches can steal, and this isn't so much about trying to find a hack to accelerate your career, but this is just something great to do, because it's just something great to do. It's just getting out and engaging with your own campus, because that's where that support starts. That support starts from the inside out.
No question.
And if the people on campus feel that, then now Okay, then put some t-shirts in your car and get around town and drop some t-shirts off the car wash and do what you got to do. But
you're building that momentum.
Yeah, that stuff starts on campus, man. No question.
Well, and especially you've been in enough operation roles where you've seen it firsthand. You've done it, still essentially doing it. But there are a lot of people who listen to these podcasts who are in operation roles and who are in those similar roles. If there was any advice, now granted, I know you just that's a great piece of advice there. But any advice maybe you have for people, no matter the position, the manager, the GA, the GM, that want to continue to be indispensable, to continue to grow within a program, what advice maybe would you give them?
No job, no task, it's too big or too little. Like I said, I've started at the bottom. So like I said, even when people ask for help now, I'm like, that's the GM of the program, do it. Yeah, absolutely, 100%. It doesn't make me better than the person washed up. Like, you help where you can help. You guide where you can guide and put people in the right direction, because you once were there, or even if you weren't, maybe your kid one day will be there. So you treat those people the way you wanted to be treated. And that's an old saying that we've probably heard for years, but that is the truth. No job is too big or too little. You always got to be there, lend a helping hand. And you don't know who that is going to affect one day. You might get a relationship out of that. You might have somebody that could help you down the line, and that person will never forget that you were there to help them that time.
No, that's
or you blow them off and act like a jerk, and they won't forget that either.
Exactly right.
Very true.
I'm a big karma person. You want to know a guy from Hugs is superstitious. That's 100% on him too. I'm super. Doesn't matter if it's my own teams. Doesn't mean it's my genius teams that I decide to root for like an idiot. More importantly, the Jets loyalty and that side of it too. But yeah, superstition. I'm very big into it. But you, again, the old saying: you treat others the way you'd like to be treated. That's not a matter of it's sport. Doesn't matter if it's life.
Man, I know we've had more than enough conversations about the NFL team, so we don't have to dive into that. You being a Jets and me being a Browns fan, we're both miserable. I get it.
My son turned 6 in July. I tell him, don't even bring him up. It's coming quickly. Don't even want to think about it. They ruin every Sunday, but let's try, guys.
Oh, it's great. The one thing I really want to make sure to ask about is, again, the GM side of things. We've been talking about the operations, which that's great, and that's where a lot of people are. I know GM roles are – more limited, not as many schools have them. I think it's probably something that is going to be a lot more evident in the future. Yeah. A lot more schools are going to have to get it. But yeah. Say hypothetically, somebody wants to get into a GM role. I'm sure there's more than enough people that do, right?
Sure.
What type of path do you look to take? And I know you started in the coaching realm, you progressed and then landed in a GM. So maybe you weren't even anticipating it, it sounds like, but for somebody now in the landscape, knowing what you know now and seeing what you've seen around, what path should, if I want to be a GM in the future, what should I, like, how do I start?
And I'll speak to Coach in there on this as well. I think having some kind of coaching background really helps, because I watched a lot for years, right? And I can speak to Coach directly about this, because he'll notice this. For so long in the college game, you have unbelievable staffs, great coaches, but you have the human nature side of it. Is you recruit a guy, you recruit the my guy thing. Hey, that's my guy. Mm. That's my guy. And as great as that sounds, at times it can really tear a staff apart. And that is something that's, I think, was really cool for me. Is I kind of, not that our staffs were ever, they weren't, because you had the head man on top that wouldn't let that happen, right? But a lot of times that could, if you don't have that kind of leadership, and that, like, that could really tear a group apart. And I remember sitting there saying, hey, the GM side of it, that, like, you really got to separate. It's like separating church and state. I think me coming from the coaching side realized, hey, I'm not going to run, like, I was a coach side of it. I don't want somebody coming telling me how to run a drill or how to. That's why it was great. Milan does a wonderful job. I oversee the recruiting side of it from A to Z, right? But I leave Milan. Milan still runs the high school side of it. We him and I talk probably more than our significant others at times, which is good or bad, but vice versa. But the other, like, I'm very blessed to work again. I know that MB has been a head coach before. T.O., who's not Boss Scott, who's a head coach before, Jason, okay, head coach before, like that. When you have that kind of structure, it leads for a successful model. Doesn't mean that it's always good. Again, a lot of that has to do with personnel nowadays. I think X's and O's are one thing, Coach, and I think you and I both understand, but you, as good as those X's and O's can be, if you don't have the Jimmys and the Joes, you're in trouble. And
amen,
I think
brother.
That's, yeah, what you're seeing. And you see a lot of good coaches that have to change things because they're the ones who ultimately get blamed, but there's much deeper rooted reasons. And people don't like talking about it. I don't care to say it. That's the beautiful thing about me. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I'm going to tell you how I feel. But I do think that's the cool thing about the GM side of it, is I've been part of an older school setup staff, right? So as I'm not going down telling them, hey, you need to do this guy. Like, my job is to find and put the roster together, for Coach and for our staff to give them the best chance to have success on and off the floor. And their job is to coach them. So separating those two things, that's why a lot of GMs, some said, I remove myself from the bench. I think it's best that I don't sit on the bench because I don't want to overstep in game strategy. And that's really the pro model. So I just think that's a better route. And I think it's really well received on our staff side because they realize I'm not going to do that. And then obviously they have the respect for me that they know that I can put them in a position to get the right players and this stuff, not only for the immediate, but for long-term. So I think it's a great partnership. And then, like I say this, speaking to Coach, because Coach can sit there and tell you, like, he's been on the, I'm sure he's been over here that, hey, that's the my guy factor. The beautiful thing is Jeff Cable or wherever you're at, Coach makes the final decision. They filter it through me as the GM. Doesn't matter who, at the end of the day, they didn't come to play for me. They didn't come to play for, they came to play for the big man. And I think having that structure is extremely important.
Oh my God. I'm so glad you said that. I have my moments on here where I get into that and I try to catch myself, but that's a very real thing because of the competitiveness of our profession. And the build draws attention to ADs and then agents can now promote you based on if you had three guys in a class that you brought in, or we all, this is not science here. We all know how it goes, but I love the fact that you said if you eliminate the my guy and you're trying to bring a kid in for your guy, because ultimately he becomes our guy.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing, Coach, too, when they sit there and said, oh, your guy, you're all your guys. I said, whoa. I said, that's the beautiful thing about the GM. I said, I like him or dislike him all the same. They're all of your guys. There's a reason why. And that's the beautiful thing. I like and dislike them all the same.
No, I love it. I love that you said that.
And that's the hard part. And you know this, like the GM side of it, a lot of it is not only the basketball side, right? But it's also the business side. And in a way, and Coach, that's why I think they respect it more. And it would be the same with you is when I moved into the GM spot, I had to fully go 100% in because a lot of it, and you know how important with coaching is relationships. Relationships are still really important with me, right? But in a way, you kind of got to grow cold. I say that because you got to dehumanize when it comes to the business side. I think that was probably the hardest thing because and Doug knows as well, I value friendships, relationships. I put that effort in probably too much at times. But when it comes to these things and decision-makings, some of these kids will be the first ones to book on you, right? As a staff. Unfortunately, in the business we live in, it's got to be rather similar. And that's the garbage part of the business now. But you got to adapt to it or you got to perish. So,
no, I'm so glad you mentioned that because the mistake that young coaches can make, and I think obviously you're competitive and you're build your reputation as a recruiter and things of that nature. The reason why the my guy thing is dangerous because it never stops once the kid arrives, because now it carries on into staff meetings. It carries on to discussions about the rotation. Yep. It carries on into scouting and game prep in terms of, hey, my, because now you're still fighting for your guy because now you think your guy may be a better starter. And so that stuff creates
division.
And dominoes. The wrong kind. We talk about offense and dominoes moving the ball. That's different. This This doesn't create dominoes. This can create an avalanche.
No question.
And I'm so glad you said that because it's such a valuable lesson for head coaches to learn. It's not about your guy. It's not about my guy. It's about recruiting guys for your guy, the head coach. Mm-hmm. And then eventually he becomes our guy for every guy.
Correct.
You're going to coach them all when they get there.
Correct.
I was able to learn that firsthand from the man himself just because he's talked to me about just like other programs that he's heard have done that. And obviously having Al to be able to talk to, I've heard a lot about that side of things just again from him telling stories that he's heard from friends and so on.
Yeah,
but it definitely is. I can 100% see how it is. It brings people down. I can definitely understand that.
Well, you got to remember the kids can see it. Other people can see it. And then it becomes an issue. And then, you're taking away from what you're supposed to be with winning. And my wrong or indifferent. And listen, it's human nature too. Like Coach said, obviously, no, everyone knows, like, hey, that could get me more attention with this job, or this could get me this AD looking like.
Yeah, Silver Waves Media. I get invited to the Silver Waves thing because I got these guys, or now Top Connect is bringing me in because I got.
We were just talking about that.
You just have to be. It's nothing wrong with ambition.
Yeah,
but I said this before, when your personal ambition becomes an obsession, now it's not an ambition anymore. It's become something bigger. And now you get into your ego's bigger than the logo. And whenever your ego gets bigger than the logo, whenever your ego's bigger than Pitt, it's just not going to end well.
Yeah. And of course, the funny part is, and these things, the Silver Waves, at which I wasn't, but I'm not going to say the thing, but one of the bigger ones, I got nominated for a couple of years ago, and then found out someone that I thought I used to work with went behind, and just to because of the situation that we were in after Coach had to retire. And after that, I found myself like, I don't care about these popularity contests. I really don't. You either love me, you hate me, that's fine. Right. I'll sleep just fine. If you truly know me, you know I'm a good person. You know I care about people. I would do anything to help anybody. That's the truth, as long as they deserve it. But at the end of the day, I don't care. Like, I think when I was younger, I used to have, oh, man, I want to be on this list, or I want to be on that list. Or if you don't like me, you can KMA. I don't care. I'm going to treat the people I care with that know me the right way. It's not, if I'm not on the Silver Media greatness list, fine. Whatever.
Right.
I'm going to win where it matters to win, and I'll make my own goddamn list.
And again, there's nothing wrong with those. There's nothing wrong with those things. I think again, as coaches, we just have to be careful. What are we obsessed with, right? And if you're obsessed with that, sometimes you can make that the focus more than trying to be great where you're at. But no, I'm so glad you said that. Again, anytime a young coach can hear just a little thing that can help them get better, and that's just that's a profession thing. That's great, because that's always going to travel if you can just have the right mentality about prioritizing that stuff.
No, and I think knowing that I probably thought that way at one point was probably helps. Like I said, it's human nature. You always want to have the sexiest thing on that side, or you always want to get – when you stop caring about all that other garbage and truly enjoy the moment you're in, the people you work with, and the process, it makes things so much better, so much easier. And it's like it's enjoying – we're all very fortunate to work in sport. And that is something that cannot be said enough and cannot be taken for granted. I don't take it for granted anymore, especially maybe when I was younger and that whole situation went down. And I was very blessed to have the right people around me after that situation. And I think you never see something like that happen until it happens. And it gives you a better appreciation and a better respect for being able to be in one of these positions and being able to fight the good fight daily. And I'm so appreciative of that. And then the people I love and I work with now, I'm so appreciative of them. Even blows, Doug.
I had a feeling it was going to get thrown in there eventually.
They're getting ready for camp. And look at, I get to peer over as a GM. Never is not too good for anything. I'm very lucky to have a pretty cool office. But when I took over this little thing, I get to add Mr. Happy to my thing every day. I like to call my protege, but his attitude has been a little, you know what? He works his tail off. So I probably should be the one sitting there saying I should back off of him a little bit at the point, so I can take this one for once. But no, that's the thing. Like I heard, coach let me have my own team, right? They're worried about winning the games throughout the year and stuff like that. Rob is going to have a chance to, whether it be a GM, whether it be something that really, he's going to be phenomenal at that time when it comes. And the GAs that work for us, I have my own little thing that I can mentor too, because obviously people think with basketball, and you guys know this, they're like, oh, you show up at coach teams, you go home. There's way other stuff that goes on than that. And then in the recruiting process, I talked about, Doug, I built my own database when I was actually at West Virginia. Now that starts throughout the entire year. The board that is now, you guys just saw, is now, that's now empty. It's got erased. I'm building the new one. But we're already on to next year, which is crazy. And then this happens with preparation. It's a commitment from the guys that work with us day in and day out. And it's a process. And people are excited about the roster and what we were able to do this last offseason, right? But I don't care about the personal accolades. I'm more proud of the process. It takes strong leadership and strong people, right? To sit there and, hey, I hired a guy to be a GM, but as a head coach, he's got to be able to trust that process. He's got to be able to buy in. And then the people around him got to be able to buy in, the people you bring in to say, hey, this is the way we're going to do it. For that to go as well as it did, and we haven't played a game yet, so none of that BS matters. But on paper, it doesn't take a genius to see the talent that was brought in from a year ago till now. But obviously getting them here, building that culture, building that camaraderie that is needed for a program to have success is where we're at now. And I think with everybody rowing in the same direction, it's the part that I'm most proud of, to be honest.
Yeah.
No, that's in a short period of time.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the best part is you want your head coach to only have to coach one team.
Correct.
And sometimes if things, for whatever reason, staff-wise, I'm not saying this about you guys, this could be anywhere. Yeah. But if things are disjointed for whatever reason, staff-wise, which can sometimes happen because of recruiting and other things like that, now he's got to coach two teams.
No, that's right? Correct.
He's coaching the guys on the floor, which is hard enough to just beat the other team by 1 point. But
no question.
Now you got this other team that you're trying to get right. And if that team's not right, then the teams on the court's not going to get right.
Then you got to coach the guys in the locker room.
That's all trickling downhill. So if you can get the office team right, then the team on the floor is going to be, they're going to get everything they deserve from the guys in the office.
And coach, the one thing I'm most excited about is when you take a job and you hear, I knew Coach Cape a little bit before, obviously when he was at Oklahoma that whole time. The best thing is for me is that after watching this year, reaffirm what I already thought, he's a damn good basketball coach. People could talk, they could run their mouths. They don't know what goes on behind the scenes. They don't know what goes in and goes into those factors, right? So I'm excited to, in my mind, be able to have him prove what a lot of us already knew, that he's a really good basketball coach and has had really good coaches around him. These are great coaches that were assistants for years and good coaches that we have now. So I'm going to, without being here that long, right, I think I'm going to live vicariously through them and enjoy that more for them than anything. When you truly care about the people and love the people that you work with, it makes it so much better and so much more enjoyable to be able to have them have their moment. And then I'm a thoroughly enjoy giving them that opportunity.
And when you get that bad seed, man, does that bad seed really, just, it grows. I've seen it. Been in it before years ago. It's, you get one bad seed, even if they were just somebody who does something very minuscule, man, does that thing grow and it trickles and it affects me. It affects everybody around.
Oh,
I get that. But you were talking about the roster construction. Now, obviously I want to make sure to preface by saying, I don't want to talk anything about your individual program with Pitt, just more like the general concept of constructing a roster in the college landscape now, because it's completely changed from 5 years ago when you were at West Virginia to now. Like, when you're constructing a roster, what's maybe a big misconception or something that people wouldn't really understand about the roster building in today's landscape?
I think the one thing is every job, every area is different. Kind of like we spoke about earlier. Hey, we're not Duke, we're not Carolina, right? Just like in the Big 12 of West Virginia, we weren't Kansas, we weren't those kind of schools. You got to find your niche as a program in the area that you're at, in the program's history. And that, whether they say that's predetermined or not, a lot of it is. And I'm a believer in rich traditions in this game, right? I think history in this business has a real realistic chance of repeating itself. Well, you know, hey, Duke, Carolina, you go through the Blue Bloods, they have those chance to get those top five freshmen that actually have a chance to make an immediate impact, you know, where they can do that. And I'm not saying some other freshmen can't. You always have unicorns in the process, right? But unfortunately, in today's game, it can't be where we maybe at times used to be, where you would take chances and hope, hey, this guy can get into this. Because if you take enough of those now and they turn out south, you're in big trouble. And I think when you devise rosters, I think staying old and getting old and staying old is successful. And I think even some of those blue bloods that were having success the old way now understand that's probably the more consistent way to have success in today's game, having grown men. And then again, it's okay to have, if you are fortunate to be able to get one of those top tier freshmen, that's great. You got to make sure you have the catalysts and the beasts and the grown men behind them or around them to make sure they can substitute for their lack of experience or freshman flaws enough to where, hey, you can continue to win while pushing their development along. I think all of that goes into where you're at. For us, we really had to kind of gut the roster A to Z because of whether it be lack of experience, where we are as a program, with the fact that more of immediate of winning right away, but also while building levels for the future. If you could get into a place where you're not flipping a roster 1-14 and 1-15, trust me, that's way, way more enjoyable. But hopefully, in theory, with just using us as an example, we had to make that big flip. But again, hopefully years from now, what we created with the levels and whether with the rules passing, whether it be the fifth year thing, right? We've created levels from obviously one, two, three, four, having your young guys, old guys, but also being able to trickle in. If it goes right, you're always going to have to cut out some of the fat. Sometimes that's part of it. Even if they're good players, they might not be fits with us. We might not be fits with them. And then you could also add levels between. Okay, hey, we're not looking to add 1 to 15 anymore. You only, hey, one or two guys that we can infiltrate with who we have that could take us from here to here, year to year. That's the kind of success, I think, and the right realm of success to have going forward. Like when you look at guys that have success events, Power Fives, guys that have, or look at certain leagues that have really transferred up well. I think all those kind of things categorically can help you build a roster, not only now, but looking, going into the following year and things that, hey, I'm going to watch that league more because this guy came from there. And the little things that can build. And that's probably my cleanest way of saying it. So I think you always, when you're a forward thinker, you're always looking for, hey, okay, what other thing can help me translate, whether it be, hey, what guys translated from this league, from that league, which positions have had more success coming from these things of that nature that can always, in your mind, give you a competitive edge.
Yeah, I think I'm so good, man. I think a big part of what you said as well, and who knows how this 5-year eligibility thing eventually plays out, but I think what everybody is hoping that the old school depth chart that you talked about, your board over there, you hope that the old school depth chart can reemerge at some point.
Yeah.
Right, because the depth chart thing has been out the window in a sense since the portal started.
You bring up the board, it's more like a beautiful mind half the time.
Right, but now you hope at some point, like you said, that you can have levels to your roster. And now a sophomore can become a junior and a freshman can become a sophomore. And now when you look at your needs, it's like, okay, we need this and this, because now we go in and we look at our board. And our board actually has a depth chart on it as opposed to a bunch of names.
Well, and a lot of these lessons we're talking about can be still the same issues we have with society, right? Don't worry about basketball side. The instant gratification era is the problem where we live in. And that's that's the truth.
Love it.
And you sit there and you come as a friend. You don't allow yourself to take the natural progression. Coach, I'm sure you took a natural progression as a player. I was just happy that I was a semi-decent high school player, and then my natural progression was to get out of playing and learning how to coach. But my physical tools weren't helping me there. But what I would sit there and say is, like, that is an issue that you see, even with the guys that are sophomores, and you're like, hey, listen, man, you're in really good shape. Man, I ain't playing. I'm not doing that. Because you're not allowing yourself to take your natural progression. You're still playing a lot of minutes. You're a contributor. You're playing, and you're getting good positions. Take your natural progression. A year from now, you could be that dude. But no, they want to jump ship because someone over here is telling them, oh, they could get you this money. They could give you this time. And it's most likely not a better situation.
Yeah.
Grass isn't always greener. Grass isn't always greener. But the same issues, like I said, we have it is the same issues we have in society. Instant gratification.
Yep.
I want it now. Nobody wants to work for it anymore.
Yeah. No, that's every coach's biggest opponent. I agree with you, man. And that's that opponent's always on the schedule. You got 32 teams on the schedule, but the instant gratification opponent is always on the schedule. We joke about it all the time. We knew things were starting to go downhill when McDonald's added the second drive-through lane, because people got so impatient that they didn't want to wait. So now you got Chick-fil-A got 3 lanes.
They're so efficient. They're so efficient.
You can't trust them. I don't care what. Listen, you can't trust them. Anyone that's not open on a Sunday for now, you cannot trust them. So I like Chick-fil-A too. I call them communists. I can't trust them.
You
got to go Old Faithful. If they're open on a Sunday, the service, the needs of us NFL fans that are struggling because our teams stink. Yeah, Doug, you and I.
We'll talk in that regard.
Yeah.
That is funny, man. That's a good one.
Jay, obviously, excuse me, appreciate you for being on here. Like I said, I know I've been fortunate to be able to meet you outside of the work life, and it's been a pleasure. And obviously talking and being the games, being around the program, knowing people like that guy sitting right next to you and the people part of the program, everything. We've had a handful of people from your program on to this podcast, and everybody has said a similar thing, and you could tell. Granted, I've been fortunate to meet everybody personally, so I knew it firsthand, but just hearing people talk, you could tell everybody is exactly what they say. They're genuine, and that's why you guys have a great thing going, is the sky is the limit, because you got all those good people around you. So, one, appreciate you for being on here and taking some time, though.
Of course, man. I'd love it sitting here chat with you guys, and like I said, anytime. Hopefully, when we get closer to the thing, you don't have to deal with too much of my lovely visions over here, but in any time, you call, I'd love to have you guys come to a game, come to practice, come say what up anytime. That'd be awesome.
No, we appreciate it, Jay. Thank you, man, again, for coming on. Pleasure to meet you in person, name with a face. And this has been great, man. Just you shared some great things that are going to make our profession better, regardless of young coach, old coach, men's side, women's side. You dropped some stuff that's going to help our game. And that's what me and Dougie are about, man. How do we make this game better one coach at a time? So you dropped some great stuff, man. We appreciate it.
I appreciate that. And that's the most important. It's nice having guys that still truly care about the leadership and teaching these guys and having Arsenal to help our next generation of coaches. So I appreciate you, man. All as well.
We all got long lines of people that did it for us, man. So this is the least we can
do. Yeah. No question.
Everybody, thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. That does it. Alan Major, Doug Caputo, coaches, keep working, keep rising. We'll see you all soon. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.
Still hanging on to that old shooting machine that's just sitting in storage and not getting used at all? Our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball are here to help trade in your machine. Any make, any model, in any condition, even if it's from a competitor. Plus, you get an extra $250 off the Dr. Dish commercial lineup when you mention Rising Coaches.